If there's one thing that we all know about me, it's that I'm constantly fixating on my health.
We know, baby. We know.
It's like I'm always trying a new thing. I'm trying a new diet, a new workout, a new gadget. Just trying to find out what really works and what's fact versus fiction.
Yeah, and I'm constantly researching, usually for Taryn to look up some new illness or ailment and try to calm her down. But also, since being in my 30s, I'm really focused on getting my health in tip-top shape, realizing how I eat and how I move is going to affect me, not just right now, but 10, 20 years down the road. And with us wanting to have a baby this year, health is just more important than ever to us. So all of this research has finally led to something good. Let us introduce you to the Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast. With the help of world-leading scientists, they help you make smarter health choices every week.
And you don't have to take our word for it. Avid podcast fan Stephanie left an Apple review that says, "The Zoe Science and Nutrition Podcast is a life-changing, science-based, myth-busting podcast that's a must-listen for anyone who eats food and wants to understand how it affects their body."
If you're ready to join millions of others like Stephanie transforming their health, then search for Zoe Science and Nutrition wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello and welcome to Staying Up with Cami and Taryn. I'm Cami.
And I'm Taryn. And every night we get to have a sleepover, but every week we invite you to join us. So thanks for staying up.
Thanks for staying up, peepees.
Hi, darling.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Hi. How are you, cutie?
We've had a kookalunka munga chunga week.
It has been. Oh, start the timer. I need to know how long we're chit-chatting to these fools.
We took down corporate America.
Oh, guys.
We didn't mean to.
Ugh. I have such mixed feelings about it. We're not going to go deeply into it. If you want to go to mine and or Taryn's TikToks, we made videos. But basically, I think we told the peepees when your diamond first fell out of your engagement ring. Maybe.
The short of it is that I have had a nightmare of an engagement ring experience with Vry. Cami's has had no issues. We have other jewelry from Vry, totally fine. But for whatever reason, my ring has just decided to fucking flake out of town.
Yeah.
We've sent it in 3 times. It's just total madness. And we finally put our foot down. Ow. Because my diamond fell out again.
It was like loose immediately when you got it.
Yeah.
Which we were like, whatever, ish, fine. Send it back. Got it fixed. Well, there's drama with that, but we're not even going to go into that. Then it fell out, and we got really lucky and found it when we were at the park. Mm-hmm. Taryn had it back for like 24 hours. Somebody said, like, yeah, you can't sleep in your ring. I'm like, well, she didn't even get to go to sleep in the ring.
I didn't even
sleep. She doesn't sleep in a ring, and she couldn't even go to sleep. We went to...
So back up.
Dinner and Futch.
Yep.
And then got home, and Taryn went to the bathroom and looked out, and her diamond was gone.
Bruh.
So we didn't get as lucky this time. We did not find the diamond.
And whatever. We asked if they would help us out. Could they replace the diamond? Because it was clearly their fault. They said, no, we will not replace the diamond. And we were like, that's fucking crazy. And then we took to TikTok. And not even in a way of like, we're going to expose them, but more in a way of like, we've talked so openly about our ring experience with Vry.
Exactly.
Let's like, detail what has happened and share it, and people can choose to shop at Vry if they want to shop at Vry. And now we're like at that thing's at like 2 million views, Cami's little video. Oh,
people love like drama on TikTok, which is so funny. I was talking to my manager Maddie about it because I was like, she was like, holy shit, I just saw how many views your video had and has now, and this was like when it hadn't hit 1 million yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know, I'm kind of feeling stressed about it. It just makes me uneasy. I think TikTok especially can be so intense. Like the comments of the company were like flooded with people are, one, hysterical, I will say, very funny, but it was just so intense, and like it being on our behalf made me feel uneasy.
Yeah.
But my manager made a great point and was like, this is also like your brand that you're protecting, because you shared your ring with your audience. Like if you typed in the company name on Google or TikTok, a video of me sharing where we got our rings, it's not sponsored or anything, I just, people kept asking about our rings.
Yeah.
And I was like excited to find an ethical option.
Yeah.
Came up. So it's like, if I've been promoting this company, I need to share when it's not something. Like,
yeah.
I care that people can trust me. I'm never, whether it's an ad or not, sharing something that I don't believe in.
Yeah.
So if I've shared something and now my opinion has changed, it is my responsibility to share that too, which made me feel better of like,
well, you did it. You fulfilled your responsibility, honey. And now so, they've had to fire their whole staff. I'm just kidding. No. That's crazy.
I'll have a full panic attack right now.
But it's resolved. They refunded us in full. And
we're going to get you a new ring, baby.
We're going to get you a new ring.
So many companies reached out and people recommended good places. So if you are in the market of like shopping for an engagement ring, I, as quickly as I can, because it's a lot to sift through, I'm going to make a list of all of the recommended places or people who reached out to us.
Yep.
Do your own due diligence and research, because they're not companies that I have purchased from yet. Mm-hmm. We might, like, we haven't decided where we're going to get Taryn's ring yet, but I'm going to share an extensive list and encourage people to like comment if they've had good, bad, whatever experiences with these companies. No, God, I don't want to take down a new company. No. I'm going to be like, take but down. Let me know if they suck. So I will share that and post it on my TikTok soon. So if you are looking for a reputable company, but a lot of people said just like shop at your local jeweler.
Yeah.
They're amazing. So I don't know
why that sits funny with me. I need to sit with that.
I think because of your job and like at startups, like a lot of these companies suck because they only care about their marketing and not about the quality of their products. But you've worked at companies like that and you see how deeply people do care about their product.
And I'm like, if they've gotten bigger, that's not always a bad sign. That is maybe a sign that they do something really great.
But it can be a bad sign too, which is the problem.
But so could your local jeweler.
For sure.
So that's where I'm at. How do I just trust Joe Schmo down the road?
You get recommendations.
I know.
You know?
Our neighbor, you guys, is like, we have so many neighbors on this street that are just, they have a million guys for everything.
Or they are the guy and can do a million things.
And our neighbor, first of all, he randomly sold Cammy's car for her at a great price. We never left. It never left the house. Someone came, appraised it, took it. It was crazy.
I was like waiting for months for it to just like show up back or like get a call from like the police and they're like, your car's been stolen. I'm like, I sold that.
Then like when our roof caved in, he like came in and had so much to our roof caved in.
That's dramatic.
He had a small hole in the ceiling of our kitchen. Anyway, he came and was like, what can I do? Blah, blah, blah.
We're so lucky.
And then he texted us and was like, yo, I saw your video. I can't handle my friends getting swindled like this. Let me fix your ring. And we're like, oh, do you have like a good jeweler? And he's like, no, I have so much mounting. I have all the tools. I'm like, okay, jeweler neighbor.
So cute. So literally, if you need like ride or die neighbors, Armenian neighbors.
They're the people.
Oh my God. They're so amazing, nicest, most helpful, most like thrifty. What?
I have to share the story of me going to check on the neighbor's dog.
Yeah.
I went.
Oh, I was like, what happened?
So crazy. Our neighbor, also Armenian, went out of town.
Also amazing. Also has a million guys for everything. Also helps us out with anything we need.
The best. He never asks us for favors, but when he does, it is just to check on his dog, Bobo. Mm-hmm. And Bobo's perfect.
Yeah, we can't do much for him. Unfortunately, this is not a two-way street. People aren't coming to us to help them.
I feel like he like low-key owns like half of our city somehow.
I think he actually owns our house. We don't own our house.
He tried to buy our house before we bought it by like offering cash at a discount.
At like half the rate.
They were like, no. And he was like, yeah, well. And he's the kind of guy that's like, you should have sold it to me.
Yeah.
He's the funniest.
He's like always wheeling and dealing.
But he has a really old pit bull that like is the sweetest little girl in the whole wide world. And when he goes out of town or is like gone for a full day, whatever, he's like, hey, will you just go check on Bobo? I went the other day. I pulled up, go to the door, and notice behind me that one of his guys is coming through the gate, like one of his like
they're working on his house or whatever. Yeah. And he's helped us with something before too, so we know him.
And he comes through the gate, goes, parks down there. I just assume he's working on something down there. So I go inside the house and I'm like playing with Bobo, everything's normal, blah, blah, blah. And then I hear him kind of like yelling a little bit. And I'm like, what is going on? And I like peek through the door and I see him and I'm like, hey, just to not scare him. I don't know if he knows that I'm here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, and he has a machete, literally a machete. And, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, did you just see that guy? And I'm like, excuse me? And he's like, I swear I saw a guy run through and over this hill. I'm going to go check. And I'm like so frightened.
Yeah,
I'm so
like,
afraid.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, I'm never coming back here. Sorry, Bobo. Fend for yourself. And then he goes, looks. He's like, I don't know. That was so weird. I didn't see anybody, whatever. And then he's like, was it you maybe?
And you're like, I didn't run over a hill.
I'm like, I certainly didn't. He's like, were you running? I was like, no. And now in hindsight, I'm like, maybe I was shuffling. Maybe I was like, had a little pep in my step up the little hill.
Yeah, you gotta like get a little momentum. But then maybe it was the poor guy who has dementia that we found on our hill.
He was apparently moving fast, and that was an old man.
That guy was, he was climbing our hill.
But now I'm like, I can't get out of my head that he was like, are you that guy? I'm like, what did you see in me?
Well, no, I think he saw something out of the corner of his eye. He saw a taller person because he's not that tall, right?
No, he's a little shorter than me probably.
Yeah, and he knows that our neighbor isn't very tall. Yeah. So he probably just saw like a taller human when he didn't expect anyone to be there.
What I feel like he saw was like, you know, when those Bigfoot sightings. That's how I feel. What I feel he saw.
Why am I picturing like your arms swinging me? Like-
But I'm also like, I had my laptop. Like, there's no way I was like, had speed.
No, anyway. No. But maybe out of the corner of the eye, he got confused.
Anyway, get our median neighbors are the best.
Oh my God, the best. Not to stereotype, but at least it's a positive stereotype.
Yeah, they're great.
I've never met an Armenian that I didn't like.
They're the best.
Also, the women Armenian. We live in an area in LA that is like all Armenians. That's why we're just saying this. I was getting my nails done, and it's a shop that's all Armenian women.
My place or no?
Your place.
I forgot. We went
no,
to
my place. Okay. This was before our wedding. And our dry cleaners, also all Armenian women, they are so nice to me.
Kimmy is Princess Peach.
Oh my God. If I am feeling down about myself, I just have to like go into one of those shops. It's like all Armenian women because not the younger ones, but the older women.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm beautiful. Like they treat me like Princess
Diana.
They say
it like it is. They say it like it is.
No. But like, I want to always look good when I see them. I'm like, if they don't call me pretty, it will wreck me.
It's a bad day.
It will wreck me.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway,
if you
find
need
some Armenians,
yeah, for literally anything, best people in the world. I want to start a new segment on this podcast.
Hit me.
Because frequently, I stay up at night and watch TikToks for a few hours, and I always am wanting to share on the podcast things that I've learned. So instead of having to be like, I saw this video, I'm starting a segment that's what did Cammy learn on TikTok this week?
That's great. Also, this segment, if TikTok goes down, this might be short-lived. So,
oh my God, I'll be like, what did Cammy learn on Reels? Ugh, gross. I'll just bank a lot of info.
How to coupon at Target.
Ugh.
How to keep food 2 days longer than you're supposed to. I feel like that's the stuff I see on Reels.
Yeah, I do watch those ones though, on TikTok. Like I watch a lot of like how you should store your food. Anyways, I learned what was that?
The other day when we brought rice home, which was so crazy. We never really bring food home after we go eat.
Yeah, you got to be very careful with rice. Rice is a big one.
And then
for
you asked me the next day, should we put rice in our bowls? I said,
oh, you just don't want to eat cold rice. Like, and I used to do that all the time. I'd have like cold leftovers.
I saw a lot of different.
You
got to
heat it. I've looked this up. Okay. I have learned this. Okay. I learned a sad fact this week. So, you know, whenever you're like really sweet and want to take care, like take a spider outside, you're like capture them in a cup, slide the paper under, take it outside.
You're feeding them to the wolves?
Not necessarily, but.
Baby, I can see your bra strap.
I'm trying to tuck it.
Pretty sexy.
Spiders cannot acclimate. If they are in your home, that's typically the only home they've known. You can't just put them outside. They cannot live outside. You are basically killing them because they are going to die within that day.
Oh my God. We're gentrifying spiders.
Yeah. Yes.
Literally kicking
them out.
So
you're better off just let them live. They kill other bugs. Just like leave the spiders in your home. You can't kill them. Or just kill them on the spot because...
Put them out of their misery.
Exactly. If you're going to just put them outside, they're going to die quite quickly because they just cannot survive out there. Isn't that sad?
I would rather put them outside and let them have a little bit longer of a life than kill them on the spot. And I'm certainly not going to let them live.
But on the spot, at least they don't know. Outside, they're like, water, food.
Oh.
Yeah. Sad.
How do we know that for sure? Spider scientist. Love that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, a guy shared it. He shares facts, but he was at a dinner party talking to a spider scientist. Wow. And then people were confirming it in the comments. Spider scientists duetted it. But one of the comments was like, if I knew that all the spiders were on birth control, I'd let them live. But it's like the idea of them having baby spiders ever. Oh, I actually can't. Oh, you just got so itchy.
That's a great thing to learn. Thank you for sharing that with me.
You're so welcome.
I have a joke that I made up the other day.
That you made up?
I made up a joke.
Dude, you're cute. What? Wait, can you paint the scene where you just like sat there in your head and it popped in? Like what? How?
You'll see. This work? We were at bowling. We never go bowling.
Okay.
But we went bowling. Okay. I'm going to say a line, then you're going to say, I love bowling.
Okay.
Oh, I haven't been bowling in so long.
I love bowling.
It's hit or miss for me.
I love bowling. Oh, I thought we were doing the whole thing. It's hit or miss. I was so focused on my lines.
Honestly, that was incredible.
I wasn't listening to you at all. Let's do it again.
Give this girl the fucking Oscar.
Well, you said you're going to say it, so I thought
then
I was
then you're going to say one, just one time.
Okay, okay. Okay.
I'm not asking you to quickly repeat.
I didn't like the way I said it the first time, so I was excited for my second chance. Okay.
Try it again. Do you know your line? I'm quite sure you do.
I'm crying so
much. I haven't been bowling in so long.
I love bowling.
It's hit or miss for me.
So bad. How do you tell the joke?
Do you like it?
If I love it. How do you tell it if you don't preface like this is your lie?
I feel like you could say like, do you like bowling? And then someone will
I love bowling
say it,
or you just wait for your moment back. For someone to say I love bowling, and then you say it's hit or miss for me.
You have to wait for someone to say I love bowling.
Yeah, I love those kind of jokes where you're just like I have yeah, dude.
Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. You know what else I noticed?
What?
That like California is one of the only states in my research that has toilet seat covers in every bathroom.
Really? You've been researching?
You never notice that when you're out of California. I really noticed it in Arizona. But when you're out of California and you go to a bathroom in like a gas station or restaurant or whatever.
They don't have it.
They generally don't have seat covers.
Interesting.
And I love a seat cover. So that's
upsetting. I don't. It feels wasteful.
Yeah, but you're also down to put your butt on the thing.
Well, I'm like either
which is
just
so shocking. You don't,
I know
you're not that
because I read a study that you can't like transfer stuff.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
to me.
Yeah, I mean I'll squat, but just like getting out a liner, and I also hate the feeling of the liner. And then I'm like, what if it like touches the water and it like soaks it up? And like I get more creeped out by that for some reason. Or I'd rather lay out toilet paper because it's, I don't know. I hate that you have to like break the center of the liner. And I'm like, what if I touch something?
And normally if you just pee, it pops.
That's scary.
Man, what? You're going to pee so hard it flies back up?
No, you're going to not pee hard enough and it's going to just soak up and get all over your legs.
No, that, what? I don't think you understand how this works. I actually don't get what you're saying. It doesn't pull up and go back into your legs. It gets wet and breaks.
I know, but if it didn't break,
it does break.
It spreads to the outside.
Every time it does break.
I don't know.
Imagine
it. Anyone not have it break? Somebody.
It's hit or miss for me.
The weather's finally getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to summer dresses and skirts. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul. Without spending a fortune, of course. Luckily, I found Quince, and I've been loving the cotton cashmere ribbed sleeveless midi dress and the 100% washable silk skirt for a while now. I get endless compliments on it, and it's been really easy to dress up and dress down. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. And the best part of all is Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. As well as this, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which you know I love and care about. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/stayingup for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/stayingup to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/stayingup.
Hi, y'all. I'm Kinsey, and I'm the host of Houseguest Podcast. I am a Gen Z wannabe Martha Stewart meets Dolly Parton trying to live in a Nancy Meyers movie. We talk all about life, relationships, and navigating your 20s. I'd like to say I'm multifaceted. I'm either waking up at 4 a.m. in the sauna tending to my garden or closing out the bars until 2 a.m. You just never know what you're going to get. It's either me at home in my house in Texas that I spend way too much time in, or in the studio with some pretty cool guest. You can follow us at The Houseguest Pod and listen or watch all new episodes every Thursday wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube.
Hi.
Hey.
And hello.
I'm Ryan Christina.
And I'm Paloma.
Along with our co-host, Sierra Schulte, who was on maternity leave, we are 20 Whatever, a podcast about navigating your 20s with friends through different phases of life.
Join us every Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. PST, for comfy chats on the couch where we hope you leave feeling seen, heard, and held.
You can watch on YouTube or listen wherever you get podcasts.
Make sure to tune in on Wednesdays for all new 20 Whatever episodes. Thanks for listening.
Okay, great. Shall we get into our meat and bones?
Yeah, I'm excited. We are talking about fighting today.
Yes.
We asked y'all last week to send us your stories, and you did not disappoint. You never do.
Sometimes.
Fuck it out. Oh, wait. Hold on. Before we do this, I have to do our
BB of the week. Yeah.
Nice. BB of the week is... I'm not really sure what your name is. You left a review. It's Tessasa.
Let's go, Tessasa.
T-E-S-A-S-S-S-A. 1, 2, 3.
Maybe it's Tessa's ass.
Tessa.
Zaz.
As. Azza.
Whatever.
Zaza.
What's she saying?
Anyways, this is so cute. Title is currently commencing my third round of re-listens.
Damn, brother.
This podcast has consumed my life completely in the last month and a half. I have listened to all.
You're like, that's so cute. We're consuming your
life. Sorry. You only care about us.
Go ahead.
I have listened to all episodes twice and it just wasn't enough. So I'm about to go in for round three. Whoa. And then in parentheses, real, because I'm like, no way you're listening to this shit three times.
Whoa.
I often find myself laughing and smiling to myself as I walk through the park while listening to Cam and Tare. Sometimes people smile back at me. Sometimes they turn around and walk the other way. Sometimes I add my own two cents as if I'm part of the conversation in
real
life.
You are, baby. You are.
Weird? Yes. That's not weird because we do that too. When we're listening to podcasts, it's so fun. Like, we'll like talk or pause it so we can have a conversation. That's the best part of like...
listening and watching
stuff.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, this podcast has been a saving grace for me this past couple months. It makes me feel like I'm not alone. It's like I have two lesbian buddies giving me all the best advice when they didn't even know that I needed it. I have been following Cam since I thought I was straight, and oh boy, how far we've come. Aww. Love the pod. Keep doing what you're doing, ladies.
Let's go, Tez's ass.
So cute.
Let's go, Tez's ass. Fucking slap.
I love it.
That was
it.
Really nice. Thank you.
So cute.
Thank you for leaving a review. You also, all of you, the rest of you have disappointed me if you have not left a review. Please go do
that. Yeah, I guess you guys can disappoint.
Go do that shit yesterday, brah.
Yeah, truly.
Okay.
I thought that was so nice.
Wait. Look at me.
What?
Can I talk about one thing? Can I say one thing about it?
I don't know what you did, but go for it and I'll just edit it out. No, if look. Not. I think they can hear you.
Okay.
It's like coming up on the mic. We can see the little like wavelengths for the microphone.
Can I just say, sometimes some of you are out here commenting on these videos or like Tuesday or whatever. Like, what did you think of Shannon and Carrie's episode on this or that?
Like, what are you about
you guys, to say? In what world do you think are we going to be out here
sharing any opinion?
Sharing a single opinion. What are you thinking? Every time I see one of those comments come through, I'm like, do you literally think that I am going to publicly be like, here's how I feel about real other people in our lives?
Who I know.
Who she was with forever.
Forever.
Whatever. Like, it's so unbelievably crazy.
Somebody
to think
asked,
that we're like a gossip site.
And to gossip about like... actual humans we know.
Actual real people.
Crazy.
Whose numbers are in our phones. We could call them now. It's like,
we have to run into. Somebody asked me my opinion on the scandal.
What scandal?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh.
And I was like, in what world am I going to make a comment?
Yeah.
And why do you care what I think?
Why does anyone care what we think about peers?
Yeah.
That are real people in our life. Like,
no, I get wondering. I like when stuff goes down with anyone else, like
that I understand.
I understand wondering, but to ask and think that we will answer.
Can you guys imagine if on Tuesday or on an episode, we devoted a whole whatever to be like, yeah, let me share my thoughts on Shannon and Carrie's public breakup that was 4 years ago or whatever. And
no,
then
we
now
only talk about that on the secret episodes for the Patreon.
I'm just like, that's just so crazy.
It's crazy.
I wish everyone well. That is the most you'll hear us say. Yeah. Everyone be happy.
Peace and blessings.
Find peace, blessings, find your joy. Okay. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Oh, Lord. Anyways.
Okay. Well, let me delete my little like notes I made about their...
Shut up.
Okay, so you know what, every couple's out here fighting, and it is a very secret private thing that people do. And as I've gotten older, I've actually I feel like couples want to talk about it more with each other. Like, yeah. I feel like when I go out to dinner, I have some friends that are like, what do you guys fight about? Or like,
people want to know they're normal.
Yes,
people want to know if everyone's doing what they're doing,
100%,
if they're fighting more, if they're fighting less. And I think when we were younger, it felt people were scared to talk about it with their friends. They're like, I don't want you to like see my person in a different light. And now we are all like, we don't need to reserve this stuff for therapy. We can talk to our friends and we can get different opinions and we can have our friends call us out for our flaws in our relationships too.
So y'all, I asked you to send in what you fight about, and we have organized them, and we'll share and just kind of share your guys' stories and share if we relate, kind of talk through our experiences with those as well. But we just wanted to start by explaining like what our biggest reoccurring fight is. We, and totally transparently, to plan this episode, we talked about this earlier and
I fully cried,
got in a fight about how we fight and making sure that we
fight about how we fight,
like making sure that we share it in a way that is fair to both of us.
And not like too one-sided. And
so it was like,
but it was a really nice chat. I actually really appreciate where it got to, and
we can share that. Like,
yeah,
I feel like you're our spokesperson for how we fight.
I don't know. I think I want to be. I'm scared.
Go.
Okay. Shit. How did I say that we agreed on? Generally, we have one main reoccurring fight. It can take several different paths,
be put on any topic.
Yes.
The problem with it.
But
it's not like we fight about finances or
yours. Yeah. It's typically I am upset about something and I don't share it in a digestible way, either come in too hot or whatever it may be. I don't share it in a way that I know Taryn's going to perceive it well.
Or sometimes she does share it in a way that is perceived well, like that should be perceived well. I'll say that.
But because of patterns we have, and it that's a hard thing, I feel like, with a lot of fights, you create a pattern. So even when you try to break it, one of you is gonna assume the pattern's gonna continue and like preemptively
assume the position.
But so true. So generally I get upset about something, I share it with Taryn.
It's one of two ways. She shares it a way that in the past I have been like, it would really help me if you shared it like this. Or she shares it in a way that
is not good.
Is not good.
Yeah. Either way, then Taryn is, I just want like my feelings to be validated. I'm not looking for like a big thing. I just really am like, I hear you. I see you. Your feelings are real. I might not have meant to cause that emotion, but I understand that you are having that emotion. That's what I'm looking for, kind of.
And my experience is, one, I'm super sensitive to tone. So if she is coming at me with any sort of tone, my brain literally shuts off. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Even if I'm completely in the wrong or I'm whatever, I'm suddenly like, I'm not handling that. Or she shares it in a completely normal, kind, respectable way that I should be able to handle like a normal person. But then I'm so upset that she has taken something I've said or done a certain way.
In a negative way.
I'm like,
you take it as like a personal attack where you're like, I'm like, wait, what? Of course you know me. You know I would never do something to hurt you. So obviously, if you took whatever I said this way, you should know that I didn't mean it that way, because why would I why would I do that? Where I'm like, I don't know. Like, I of course want to give you the benefit of the doubt, but it's also a lot of either past stuff from your childhood or past relationships where I'm like, in previous relationships have given people too much benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And then woke up one day and went, am I dumb?
Yeah.
Why am I pretending this person is better than they are?
Totally.
So that's been a hurdle I have to get through of like, let you be as good as I know you are.
Totally.
Assume the best because yeah. I haven't been shown anything different. So your back gets pushed against a wall
and
for whatever reason when I'm upset.
My first instinct always is to be like, that is totally not what I meant.
Yeah.
Let me explain to you what I meant.
Yeah.
I never go to like comforting her first.
Yeah. Because you're like, if you know what I really meant,
you would never
you
be
won't
upset.
Be upset and we're good. Where I'm like wait, I don't wait, care.
I'm like, let me clear this up.
Yeah.
Whoa, and
I'm
whoa.
Like, and you're like, hold up.
I'm like, we're confused.
Oh, you're confused oh. right now.
Once
like,
you get,
yeah. And I'm like, that's irrelevant to me. I want to, because I also feel like then I'm aware of in my childhood, I didn't feel heard.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like my emotions and my issues were being focused on because even though I'm the baby of the family, I was like the responsible one and the one not messing up. So it was like, can't be so easy.
Yeah.
So it was like, I can't vocalize my hurt because it's a burden to others.
I hear that.
So then when I'm like, I get that you want to justify it and tell me what really meant, I'm like, I don't actually care. Whether you meant it or not, I just want to feel heard and loved and cared for. And then when I'm not getting that reassurance, then I don't feel loved. And then it makes me question everything. And then it spirals. And then it becomes like a, well, now that we're here, like you did this and this, and then I'm handling it so poorly.
Yes.
That's the trajectory of when we fight, it goes there.
Yes. I feel like my empathy shuts off and I shut it off. I'm like, okay, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
I hate that we're even fighting about something either so stupid or so misinterpreted
or looking whatever. At the patterns and going, oh, this is going to be a thing. Here we go.
And
now
that's
I'm annoyed.
It too. I'm like, even if it could be nothing and 90% of the time it is nothing.
Yeah.
I'm so scared that it is going to get to where it has gotten in the past, where it's just like a blow up for nothing. And you're like, how
are we fighting
about
this? We're not talking for
a
few hours. It's just like uncomfortable.
Yes. I'm like that. I immediately am like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And then I find myself apologizing in a super rude way because I'm just like, I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't have said that. Yep. Okay. I'm like being sarcastic and rude,
yeah.
but just like, in my head, my brain is like, okay, that's the shit you have to say, but I'm not putting any heart in it because I don't believe I should be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, something I really...
Yeah, you're like, oh, what? This is so stupid.
Yes.
You're being dramatic. Here we go again.
And something that I really want to work on and have, like, not super consistently in therapy, but I've brought it up before, is, like, I feel like I am losing by apologizing. I feel like I'm admitting that the way you took it was what I meant.
Yeah.
And so I hate that because it feels like I'm being like, I'm not saying that you do this. This is in my head what I'm feeling is it feels like I've been gaslit into thinking that I meant something that I didn't mean.
Yeah. You're like, and if I apologize, like, I'm taking ownership that she was correct in the way she took it.
100%.
When that's not at all it.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I realized too is like, I'm so sensitive to tone.
Yeah.
And when I've been around your family versus my family's is very like, talk about nothing. Nobody raises their voice.
Mm-hmm.
We're all very like, just passive aggressive.
And no one's sharing they're upset.
No one's really sharing that they're upset.
Yeah.
But you can feel it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like your family is more... like
quick to share
or that, just yeah. quick to just have a tone,
yeah,
but you get over it way faster.
Yeah,
like your brother or your mom, like you, not really your dad, he's just kind of there, but like but like the three of you are quicker to be like
yeah
and bicker. Then to bicker, and that is what scares me so badly.
Mm-hmm.
But I just never had it. So I'm so allergic to like
yeah.
the bickering thing,
yeah,
which is just really
oh, that's really
interesting.
Interesting.
Do you feel that?
Yeah, that's really interesting because I feel like my mom and I will bicker.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I kind of go in waves. I feel like he's pretty quick to jump at me. I don't do it as often to him because it doesn't go well. Because if I do that to my brother, my mom jumps in at me and yeah. then I'm like, this is going to be bad. Like, yeah. I don't think my dad and I do it to each other.
But your dad does it to your mom.
Yes. There's like weird different dynamics of yes. like, it's not everyone to each other. It's like green light to go there. And like sometimes it only goes one way.
Yes.
Which is really interesting.
But yeah, just yeah, like yeah. from a passive aggressive family to watching like
you're open, like, oh, you bickering said and that? Tone. Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, they can just like say shit and no one's upset for a long time. Yeah.
It's really interesting. Which
has been really interesting.
I feel very in the middle of that because I do it to some people, but then like, I mean, you saw when we were home, my dad said something and it hurt my feelings. I never say it to him. I walked away and was like, I'm gonna cry because you guys like both upset me at the same time. And I was yeah. like, oop, don't like that. Where if my mom said something like that upset me, I would just say it right away. I'd be like, whoa, not cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, very anyway, interesting.
I just thought that was interesting.
That's super interesting.
Anyway, so that's our fight. And and
that's 30 minutes of our fight. Shit, sorry guys.
It very unfortunately can take any form onto yeah. anything.
Yeah.
So it can be, which that's unfortunate, but the good thing is we don't have like major lifestyle fights. We don't
fight about anything.
We don't have know? A thing that we fight about. We just
yeah.
fight about.
We fight about everything.
But what I was very relieved to hear is that that is the story for so many of y'all.
Oh, my God. It's tone, actually, these are so cute. Right?
Tone is the word that has come up across all of this.
Yeah. Do you want to read the first one?
I do. So we're just going to go through some of these stories and talk them out. So
the dogs are running around upstairs. Sorry.
Me and my partner fight often about tone of voice, the way we speak to one another, and how we are perceiving what the other is saying. Maybe based on a lack of understanding for the emotions or needs of the other person, then that leads us to being short and temperamental. I feel like this should be such a small fix and a simple problem we have. It's not about super big issues, but at the same time, it does feel pretty big, and I feel like we go in circles with our fights and would love to find a solution. Lots of love. Whenever I hear you two get in tiffs on the pod, it feels relatable and I would love to hear what works for y'all.
Oh my
God. Nothing
works
for us.
This isn't relatable at all. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's so funny.
It's,
you know, I do feel we have gotten a little bit better.
We've gotten better with,
I think it's reframing. It's really stressful to be like, we're on this cycle and it feels impossible to get off. Instead of seeing that as a negative, thinking of like, I can get off at any point.
Yes.
In the middle of a fight.
This roller coaster,
yeah,
I can get off.
It's, if it works in this like domino effect this way, it can work in reverse where it can be, if I stop the pattern,
yep,
I am stopping the pattern. Even if we did 10 things first, if I kicked off and I did this and then you did the thing back and blah, blah, blah. As soon as I want to get off, you have to get off too.
Yes.
If I throw a wrench in the cycle, it stops the ride for both of us.
And that's such a healthy way to look at it. But I just refuse to get off of the cycle.
I don't think that's true. That
sometimes.
Of course, sometimes. Yeah. We still have this. But like this morning, we had like two little hiccups when we were talking about sharing our fight today. Yeah. And this morning, I shared something and you had said something that surprised me and I went, what, really? And that upset you. Mm-hmm. And I could have then been like, I said you were sensitive and then you got sensitive about being sensitive. Yep. And I could have been like, I could have kept going, but then I stopped.
Yeah.
Then when we were downstairs, we fought upstairs, then we fought downstairs. Then when we were downstairs and my feelings got hurt.
Yeah.
And one, I don't think I kept going with it. I just felt sad. And instead of like going in more, just was like, let myself feel for a second. And then instead of you getting irritated with yeah. me getting upset, you paused and were like, no, let's take him and I do want to talk. And then we had the biggest breakthrough. Like you said so many sweet things that I've like honestly needed to hear.
You guys, I went to her and hugged her. Which I know that sounds like nothing.
But, oh, it means so much to me and it's so hard
so
for you.
Much to you
yeah.
and it was so hard for me to yeah. be like, you know what? I don't I'm not happy with you right now, yeah. but I will still give you comfort because you are my person.
In a fight, physical touch is so my love language. And you know so what?
Like, I'm like this.
Yeah, you're like,
don't come near me. Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, I'm like, and I'm don't. Like, I don't want to touch
you. I feel
you
like puss in boots. And I'm like, please.
Yes.
I feel like that's also kind of advice for fighting is learn your fighting love language.
Yes.
Sometimes people want you to bring them a little treat.
Yes.
Sometimes people want a little snuggle. Like, I wouldn't say that my number one, I think acts of service are my love language day to day.
Yeah.
But it's not actually what I care about in fighting. You'll do that in fighting. You'll like ask what I want to eat or yes. like, you know, you'll
I'm trying. I'm like, if
you'll bring
if
me a like, water, if which is like so sweet.
In like a 2 hour not talking moment, I'm like all of a sudden putting away the dishes and I'm like, here's a cup
but
of water.
But for some reason, that actually makes me resentful because I'm like, oh, now you're gonna clean because we're in a fight. Like, that pisses me off for some reason, which is so funny because that is my love language.
That's me trying to come to you in a way that I know you appreciate.
Yes.
And as far as I can come to you because yeah. I'm like, when you're pissing me off, I don't want to hug you.
But it's so funny because when I'm we're like, fighting, I need to feel that of like, please show me that you still love me in this moment.
Totally.
And you're trying to by doing the acts of service, which is my number one thing.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I'm like, I need physical touch. And you're like, I'm not giving you that right now.
Sorry.
No, don't. That's just,
no, that
I think
sucks.
That's such an, that I've never that. Thought about that. No, but it's so yeah. sweet that you're like, I'm going to do the dishes. And I'm like, I pout at that. I'm like, okay, you're going to fucking take the trash out now.
Dude, one time we were fighting, like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And we never spoke about this, but I took Riggy's poop and dropped it off at the...
Yeah, again.
At our vet.
I don't know why that pisses me off.
What? I was like,
I don't
she's going to love this. She I hates
know.
Running errands like this.
I was so grateful you did that. But it was like, oh, you want to fucking pat on the back? Like, I get so irritated when you do a chore. I think because I'm like, would you have done this if we weren't in a fight? Like, are you just trying
yes,
to like...
Yes, I would have.
I don't know, but I'm saying, why? Yeah. It pisses me off yeah. for some reason.
I which hear is, that.
But don't stop doing it. I love that it's done. But like, why is that irritating me?
You know what my thing is that I love when you do when we're fighting?
What?
When you come up to me and say, that was so mean of me to say. Yeah. I am like,
you
I
smile.
I want to fucking
honey,
crush
you. You
with
like
love.
Giggle. You're like,
I'm like, she said she saw something that I saw. Like,
yeah.
I feel
she agreed.
So. She agreed.
Like, yeah.
I feel so
validated
in those yeah. moments. There's nothing more that, like, you could do any chore, anything, but that little string of words of you just being like,
that was nice.
That was not nice of me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're like, yes.
Take your shirt off. I will kiss you. Anyway. Okay, so that's tone. There's a lot more there, but we're going to skip them.
We're going to skip the other two?
I think so. Just okay. because I feel that is...
Yeah, we got to get into more meat and potato vibes.
So, married fights.
Married fights.
We coupled like three people who are married.
Yeah.
And talked about what they're fighting about. You yeah. want to take us through one, honey?
Sure. Wife and I have been together 14 years, and of those 14, we just celebrated our 7-year wedding anniversary. Taking away the early stage arguments, immaturity, finances, house chores, etc., I think our most common arguments now would be in one of these two. Taking out frustration on one another due to being overstimulated. These common arguments / random bickering are quickly resolved, but are often done unintentionally due to our busy lives, difference in social batteries, or even just our current moods being off, sleepy, PMS, hangry. In the end, we aren't mad at each other, but frustration is often taken out on those closest to you.
Love that.
Yeah. Number two, misunderstanding each other due to assumptions created by past behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Being together since we were 19, now 33, we did a lot of growing up together. Sometimes we assume one another is feeling or acting a certain way due to our past moods or related gestures. In reality, these assumptions are off base and cause an argument due to trying to overcorrect a situation that was never there. Being together for so long, we tend to assume we know everything about each other and how we act, which is true to an extent. But in the end, we are always still learning and adapting every day. This was so insightful and I feel like
so
well articulated
out.
And yeah. clear that they
have
worked on this and get this.
Yeah. That reading that one calms me down a little
me
bit
too.
Because I'm just like, really, the more time you're with a person, the more you can understand who they are, how they work. And like, rise above the smaller kind of neat, sillier fights, which we will get to. There's a lot of those. But what's funny is, like, it is often everyone in the early stages of a relationship are fighting about the same shit for the most part. And then when you get into, like, the married stuff, it's like you're meta fighting.
And it's just, I mean? You're existing together on every level. Like, your lives become incredibly intertwined that it's hard to, like, not let the other person's mood affect you. If I'm having a down day or you're having a down day, supporting each other but not matching your partner's energy. It's very hard not to take things out on the person closest to you, like they said at the end of this.
This one is from another married couple, and it is such similar vibes, but just said differently, and I think it people will be able to relate. Wives for 8 years, and they just had their first baby, so there's a lot going on. This is in their words. Let's just say there are levels of fights, but this is our most common. The lack of sleep joking turned serious fights. I'm an extremely sarcastic person. She knew this 8 years ago when I swept her off her feet. But for some reason, whenever we're joking around and teasing each other, it nearly always ends with her feelings being hurt somehow. And she'll snap and start saying how I'm offensive and what I said was so rude, this and that. Now, you'd think I should just apologize and be over it, right? No, that would be too easy. I apparently cannot do that. For some reason, this offends me. And I come back being like, I was just kidding, my dude. It was a joke. And you would have laughed and if you didn't have a stick up your booty hole. And she's all, well, it's not funny. This then makes me feel terrible because we were just joking around. What the fuck? I didn't intentionally mean to upset you. So now I'm upset that she's upset. But I don't like that she should... But I don't feel like she should have said anything about it in the first place or been upset at all. But she thinks she does have a right to. So it's this enormous spiral on and on until somehow it turns into, well, you don't love me anymore, or you barely kiss me throughout the day, or I change all the diapers and you only did one, and so on. Just ridiculous shit until the child has needs to attend to or one of us walks away because it's a cool off time. While we just ignore each other and move about motherhood, focusing on our son is when we come back to life. We will have drank enough coffee, had enough water by now, finally got to eat something or shower, you know, just taking care of our human Tamagotchi selves. Usually while we're making dinner and start existing again, someone will bring up the fight. We'll start mimicking how the other was being in a funny way during the argument and legit be cry laughing at each other, wondering why in the world we get so hyped up about it in the first place. We both apologize. Everything goes back to normal. Is that healthy? We certainly don't know, but we truly find it hilarious in the end, and maybe we're just insane and this is not normal at all. LOL. Cute.
Oh my God, that was like written in your tone. Like, I'm like, did you submit that?
Look, I don't know if it's healthy, but I know that it is normal.
Yes.
Is what I mean, I would like, say.
What were you asking, if it's healthy how they handle the end bit? I think yes. If you can come back and laugh about how it was, but maybe let's work on like trying to keep that at the forefront of our mind in when it kicks off of like we are going to be laughing about this a couple hours, because I hate when we have like tension for a prolonged period of time. I'm like, oh, why? And when we fight, I feel like I go into like a depression hole where I'm like, I can't focus on anything. Yeah. It takes me out of everything. Like, I'm not doing work well. I'm not talking to friends well. Like, nothing feels good until it's solved.
Nothing feels good until it's solved for me, but I do start to, like, do other shit. I'm like, suddenly, I need to go to the mall.
Yeah. You, like, I see you, like, you're laughing on the phone with a friend. And I'm like, why the fuck is she laughing? We're fighting.
I'm like, I think I take it as like a timeout from our relationship. Like, it feels like we.
But why are you thriving then? You should be devastated.
I'm sad. I'm just also like, what else should I do now? I know I have a couple hours to myself.
No, I just I just rot alone.
You do.
It's sad.
It's really sad. But what I will say about that too is like, I think one thing that scares me, and thank you for sharing this in your story, is like one thing that scares me is that once we have a kid, we will just use the kid to be the thing that like brings us together.
Yeah.
Instead of like healthily learning how to handle
yeah,
our tiredness or like yes. how we are or whatever, or our problems at their core. So I think, like, obviously I don't know what that's like not being there. You've been there for much longer than I have, but that's something that I really want to work on with us. Tired. So yeah. that like that doesn't, you know, you never want to be those couples that like their only thing they do together is kids, the stuff about the kid.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Next story.
Let's talk health.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. I'm 27. I'm a bi girly with a husband that's 10 years older than me. Everything is perfect. The sex, the commitment, the feeling of safety and true love, that's the dream cool. about our family. But dun, dun, dun. I'm from the family that's filled with medical doctors.
Lucky.
I know. I knew you'd be jealous of this. My mom is always talking about new research with what's healthy or not, about dying, about illness that we will have if we won't change our diet, lifestyle, etc. No, you'd hate this.
Count your fucking blessings.
No, you would hate that.
I would love
this. The mom's always talking about things like...
Well, I'd tell mommy, shut up.
Shut up, mom.
Intervene when you need... I would never tell my mom, shut up. Yeah, but I'd
be like, whoa.
No, I would say...
Hush, mama.
I say mama.
Hush, no. puppy. My husband is from a totally different family.
Okay.
They don't care as much, are way more chill, don't care as long as they are healthy. I mean, they are just happy doing their thing until something is wrong, then they act. But they don't care as much as we about the diet, fitness, checking your blood every once in a year, et cetera, et cetera. Once a year, I think is what they meant. It makes us fight. I get sad and angry that my husband eats fried things so often with a lot of fat instead of veggies. I know I have control issues. We talk about it. I am doing therapy. I'm trying hard to be a supportive wife, but I'm worried that he will die sooner than me. We'll leave our family and I will be alone.
Aww.
When I see that he opens a can of beer in the evening, as people sometimes do, I get stiff and stressed, and all I can see is the headlines and articles about alcohol being deadly. Help. How can I stop seeing this so black and white?
Damn, dude.
That is really tough. I think especially with any partner, but your partner's older already.
Yeah.
So it comes with like a, I want to keep you here forever. It's already something at the forefront of my mind that you most likely will pass before me. I want to bridge that gap as much as I can.
And men do die sooner than women normally.
Oh my God, they don't care more.
Sorry.
Girl, just start eating fried foods too. No, I'm just kidding. Smoke. Drink.
I think, look, we are not in that situation, so whatever we say is just completely, we're just saying shit. But I think one thing I would try to do is like, I actually don't even know. Everything that flipped through my head, I was like,
the way you just went blank. I honestly think focusing on the things that are a together thing, like we eat different foods.
Yeah.
So whenever we are cooking at home together, you're going to eat what I'm eating. You're not typically making a different and separate thing. So maybe trying to do things together more, finding like a hobby for the family of whether we're hiking. Walking or yeah, like add in things that you can do together that are healthy instead of taking away the things that they enjoy and bring. Like I get his mindset of, well, we're all going to die someday. I could die in a car crash tomorrow. I want to enjoy little things, but also respecting you and trying to prolong life. Like I was scared of doctors when we met, but I know that you have health anxiety. So it was important for you that I go and get checked up a lot. So maybe we do checkups more often. Mm-hmm. The blood work thing of doing that yearly, that's something that you guys can compromise a little bit more where maybe he is having a beer at the end of the day and that is his vice. Maybe he is having fried food every now and then, but maybe a little bit less. Maybe we are at least compensating that by going to the doctor and making sure he's healthy.
Yeah, it feels like he needs to just understand how important it is to you and you guys need to have some sort of compromise and meet in the middle situation because you would clearly think differently at a meta level about health. So it's like, What can you let go of?
Yeah, and what a little control go.
He give and don't have fried foods 3 times a week.
Yeah, or something let's just like find a little bit of balance.
Yeah,
and sometimes it's easier to not hear it from your partner. So whether there's like, is there a friend of his that is more active, or just agreeing to going to the doctor so that the doctor can either, if the doctor says, you know what, your heart looks great.
Yeah.
I think maybe we might need to pull back on the fried foods eventually, but I'm actually happy with your heart looks. Or they go, you know what? There is signs.
Yeah.
We do. Sometimes hearing a doctor say it instead of just like, well, your that's wife. Your opinion that this is unhealthy.
I'm sorry, though. That sounds hard.
Yeah, that is tough when you have such different views on that.
Okay, now we're going to get into what I categorized as miscellaneous.
Okay.
I'll start with toothpaste.
Toothpaste. Let's go.
These are no longer married people. Not like they got divorced, which they might have. But I'm saying we're out of the category
they are of people dating.
Who said that they are dating. Were married.
They are calling them girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it may be. We are not getting wives, husbands.
God bless her. My girlfriend has ADD and an uncanny ability to not notice the toothpaste globs in the sink or the four empty cans of sparkling water she's left on the coffee table over the course of the week.
Dumper. Just kidding.
I'll remind her to pick up. That's crossed out. I'll nag. I'm working Aww. On it in therapy. And then she'll offer to clean the whole downstairs to make up for the little messes that she's left. I don't hesitate to let her, but then feel let down when I go to pee post-clean and notice that the bathroom sink wasn't fully wiped down, nor was the counter right around the faucet where it gathers grime. There's also dust on the toilet lid and a few hairs on the shower drain. So then I finish the job myself, which isn't appreciated by either of us. You can see the problem here.
We did you write to dish at all? Yeah, I'm like, did we both submit our own stories? All of them are our Imagine we're like surprised none of you wrote in. We wrote all our rights. Oh, it's, you know what?
Quick advice on that. What do you think?
I have had this kind of reoccurring issue in a lot of relationships where the cleanliness matters more to me and my partner just literally doesn't see it.
Yeah.
They're not trying to be like neglecting the area or not properly cleaning. They just, it doesn't matter. The seat up doesn't matter. The glob of toothpaste doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I mean, the goal, I guess, is that you try to appreciate the little stuff that your partner is doing while also setting some standards and you found it?
Yeah, I found it.
Okay.
No, continue your thought. Sorry.
And just like going back to like, hey, here's the bare minimum. Let me explain to you why this specific thing is important to me. And if you could just look out for this X, Y, and Z, that'd be lovely. But also, I don't expect you to get it right. And I'm certainly not going to be mad at you if you don't.
Yeah. I think we have fought very little to none about cleaning lately.
Oh, we're done with that.
Because
it's in the bag.
We have made clear jobs for both of us.
Yes.
So before, when it was kind of just like
free for all,
we both live in this home, it's both of our responsibility, which it is, that left a lot of room to be upset. So let's do laundry, for instance. I was typically doing the laundry. Mm-hmm. So then I'm frustrated because I'm like, okay, well, I just did all the laundry. Now I'm having to mop the floors. Now I'm having to do this and I'm irritated. Now we separated clear jobs, which we said we're willing to like talk through. Do we feel good about the division of labor? Now I know that I'm the laundry person. So I'm not resentful when you're not doing the laundry. But if you do take liberty and do it, I'm like, that was nice. She helped me out. Where before it was like, you're not helping me.
Yeah.
This should be both of our jobs.
Yep.
So, and then it's like the trash is your job to take out. So now, it's, you're like, didn't do that. But it also.
And I'm dishes. I put dishes away.
And I load.
You load.
And that feels better because you know what? Then I feel like it's safe.
In a backyard.
Yeah. It feels safe for me to say, hey, babe, the trash is full. Can you take it out? Instead of it being like, well, I could just take this out. But I'm like, no, that's your job. And you know that. It's much more easy to remind your partner, like, nudge, nudge, hint, hint. This is your thing. Kind of been lacking on it. Than like, I did this and this and this. And you only did that. Like, it makes it a competition instead. And 100%. That's not safe.
True.
I have felt as soon as we made that division of labor, so much better. And maybe not every couple needs that. But we did.
Yeah.
And it just feels good.
I do feel better.
Yeah. And then it's like, I'm the one that's cleaning, but I still expect you to pick up after yourself. So and I can ask you that. Or if I want help, if we have like people coming over, we're going out of town, I'm going to need help cleaning today. This is what I think you should do. And I delegate and you're happy with that. And you're like, I got it. Mm-hmm. And then if I don't love the job that you did in the bathroom, I'm just going to touch it up.
Yeah.
And if you see me doing it and go, did I not do that right? I'm like, no, you did really great, but you know what? I did notice this and this, and it bugged me. And I do see that you'll get sad about that, but we both are like, I had to deal with touching it up. You can deal with that it wasn't fully up to my standards, and we just move on.
True. Beautiful. Nice. Good advice, honey.
Okay, which one should we go into next? We only have a few more minutes to get through some of these. Oh, man. There's so many. Okay, you know what, guys? Let me
just quickly list the titles or, like, what they're about so you can feel like, oh.
We are going to read all of these on a special episode on the Patreon because I just feel like they're so fun. They're so relatable. I don't want to do a whole nother episode reading these. Yeah. I thought we would get through more, but we had so many thoughts on them. We will read all of the rest of them in another episode. If you haven't joined our Patreon yet, the link is in the show notes.
That was natural. Good job. Get it. That was natural. The other fights include fighting about body count, two fights about sex drives, friendship boundaries, house cleaning, independence versus codependence, learning what talking is versus fighting. It's like there's
pick some your favorite shit in should here. We do one more or should we wrap it up?
No, let's go with like a let's go body count. That's unique.
I'm bisexual and went through a big hoe phase between high school and early college.
That's okay.
My body count is high, mostly with men, and I think it had to do with me trying to deny that I liked women. I think my messed up brain thought that if I hooked up with enough guys, I would stop hooking up with girls. Fast forward into my late 20s, I've grown up a lot, stopped hooking up with so many people, and met the love of my life.
Congrats.
Frustrating that it's a man, but he is seriously so funny. He is seriously incredible, and I think he is my other half. He has known since day one that I love women, and he is the biggest ally. He is 4 years younger than me and has only slept with a few women prior to me. Our reoccurring fight is the fact that I have such a high body count and he does not. I think he feels like it's a competition sometimes, and he compares our numbers. It just feels really unfair, and I ask him not to judge me for my past because I was clearly working through some trauma. After some arguing, we always drop the conversation, but I feel like it's always going to be a topic that gets brought up.
Thoughts, Bubba? My thought here, my friend, is that I'm happy you explored. I'm happy you had your exploration. No one can or should take that away from you. Body count is a hot topic in relationships for a lot of people. It's also so crazy that we call it body count.
It's gross.
It's so crazy. We're like, what's your body count? That's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a sniper.
Ew.
Is how it feels.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know this is not going to sound like what you want to hear, but I do think this is something that needs like a deeper exploration on his part, which is probably done in like couples therapy or therapy on his own. He clearly has a problem with it that is, there's nothing you can do.
And it's not resolved. If it, like,
no.
This isn't like one of those little fights. It's just like, oh, we always fight about this. This is something that's like, we can just get past this.
And it's probably one of those things that his feelings around it eke into different little things that you guys experience or him feeling confident, him feeling like as experienced, and maybe he tries to showboat or overdo certain things. It's like, this is the type of thing that would slide into a lot of other little things. And it is probably worth it for you asking him to deal with it in some way because that is what a relationship is.
Yeah.
It is like we have weird buttons and we are not meant to fix each other. In certain ways, we can help each other and encourage each other or show people alternatives or whatever it is. But when it comes to stuff like this that just consistently nudges at you, that is so clearly a one-sided thing, like jealousy, that's something that I have worked on in my own therapy, literally, where I am like, I don't get why I feel this way. It is childish. It is not based on anything. Cammy gives me no reason to feel jealous or insecure ever. And that's on me to figure out. That is not on her. You know, so it's similar to that where it's like he's feeling jealous or insecure in some way. And if he is willing, and I hope he is, he needs to work that out.
And like on your side, I would actually encourage you to work through any shame you have around this. Even saying like, it was just because of my trauma. I don't care if it was just because you loved having sex every other day with a different person. you should not feel shame about that. You didn't, you also like weren't together yet. You can't apologize for things that you did before you were together. And I don't know, it's never fun to feel judged in a relationship. No. But I think, one, I want you to feel more confident about your past, even if it was because of trauma and you're not happy with the people you hooked up with. You might feel regret around that, but I actually want you to work through the shame of that because you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So one, I encourage you to fix your mind frame of that so that you can show up more confident to these conversations mm-hmm. and hear your partner and like kind of get to the root of like where their insecurity is coming from. It is it them personally feeling like mm-hmm. you got to do that, I didn't, or like I feel weird that you have this experience and I don't, like, am I not good enough for you? I want you to feel confident about yourself so that you can kind of hold their hand through their own exploration of like, why am I feeling insecure? Because it's not fun to feel insecure.
No.
And sometimes when your partner is feeling insecure, they kind of do need not coddled, but like reassured.
And sounds you should, like, she's past that though. It sounds yeah. like she's done that.
Yeah. I mean, your partner needs to deal with what they're going through, but it's hard to, you have to be gentle with this
totally,
or they're gonna shut down and be like, no one wants to hear that yeah. they're insecure.
No.
Like, that's not a fun feeling, but they do need to get there and you do need to push back and challenge them. And I think yeah. it's easier to do that when you feel really confident in yourself. Like, we've had similar things, not about body count, but like
yeah
feeling judged or whatever for any past things. And it's when I talked about it in therapy and moved past it and moved past any shame I had for anyone I've been with or whatever, any issues that I've had, mm-hmm. I was able to focus on where you were coming from more once yeah. I could show up not judging myself.
Yeah.
So
that's great advice.
Thanks.
That's a tough one though. All of these are tough, but you know what? Knowing our parts in fights is the best thing that we can do to even start to get to a healthier place.
Not even half the battle. It's most of the battle.
So all these people that are able to even articulate
yeah,
where you
the
are.
The self-awareness is really cool.
Really good. Really good. Really good work, everybody. We're all working hard.
Let's go, team. Let's go, PPs.
Not saying you're not going to fight, but saying if you know your piece in it, yeah. maybe you'll fight a little better, a little softer, a little kinder.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like remembering that it's not me versus them.
Yeah.
It's us versus the problem.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because we all have what your aunt and uncle refer to as the lizard brain. Mm-hmm. You can also think of it as like little baby you. We go there and our instinct is protect myself. Mm-hmm. And the threat feels like it's your partner and it's not your partner. Mm-hmm. It's this like outside energy that's trying to get into your little like
your space,
your bubble, your couple bubble.
Yeah.
And it's poking holes at it and we get a little discombobulated. The fumes of the energy are making us like, you're the enemy. And they're not. Like, yeah. your person loves you
yeah.
and cares for you. And we're just both trying to protect our own hearts. Mm-hmm. And we got to remember that, like, those hearts are intertwined in this relationship. Like, the best thing for me is the best thing for you and vice versa.
Yep.
And you just got to, you got to come back together.
We get better when we're a team.
Yeah.
Team.
I love you.
I love you too.
That was really fun to hear that.
Yeah. Let's go. We'll have a couple more that we'll get into on the top secret.
What was that noise?
The fuck was that, honey?
I don't know.
It was,
I think it was outside.
It was outside.
I think the gardeners are at the neighbors, and I think maybe something just got like pushed over. Mm. Anyways, we got to go check that out. We love you guys so much.
We'll post the rest on episode of Top Secret, episode three of Top Secret. And if you want that, come over to Patreon. We would love to have you. We also have a special little group chat that's over there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we love you guys. Thank you always for listening, for engaging. We read everything you say and do. And
yeah, my favorite episodes are like whenever we're sharing the thoughts of the peepees. Like, yeah. I just love, I can't wait to do a live show and just hang out with them.
I know, brother.
We love you guys. Cool. We'll see you next week or over on Patreon in a little bit.
And if you want to hear what we think about Becky so hot.
Shut up. Stop it.
That shit's funny, though.